Let's see, I think we're on the air. This is the Taylor Report. Must be. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Conlon. How you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil.
We're going to be talking about a couple of urgent issues here on the show today. The big one I want to talk about is the struggle or fight, Canadian patriotic fight against the concept of foreign agent registration. To me, it's an alien foreign idea imported from a society that is not exactly multicultural, the United States. You know about this film. We've been talking about it on the show, but you know that there are people beginning to resist, and we applaud them, and we want to make sure that people join in, know how to do it. By the way, you could, as they say, you could do it your own homegrown way to fight back. But there is a place called yourviewsmatter.ca, yourviewsmatter.ca. This all flows from this terrible situation we find ourselves in. I was thinking that of the movie The Big Lebowski. I often think of that when there's something is unfolding.
That's true, folks. Phil often talks about The Big Lebowski.
I do often talk. But I agree. As Walter says, we're in a world of pain, entering a world of trouble, dude. And it's very important everybody be alert and not buy into a really constant phenomena. In practically every society runs fevers from time to time about foreigners or about certain types of religions. And there's always a danger that they'll lose their minds and a lot of people will be hurt. And we're in that situation now because of the situation with the U.S., largely under Trump, changing the policy dramatically. To my mind, it all begins with his decision to arrest a prominent Canadian business leader, who happens to be, of course, Chinese national, because she's one of the executives of Huawei. Not only was it a nasty, vicious thing to do, because it's basically at the end of the day, it's a business matter. Even the accusations is strictly a question of was one company getting an edge on another company. But the way it unfolded was basically unspeakable, because there was a decision to watch her leave mainland China. She was in Hong Kong, and they went to pains to anticipate her arrival, and she was only transiting Canada. And Canadian intelligence people joined in happily, quickly, without question, and to make this scandal unfold in front of us. You know, frankly, that was a whiplash moment. And we're living in the aftershock of it, because now we're all convinced that there's some kind of great menace from China. It didn't exist at that time. Actually, we were quite happy to be doing business. It was good for farmers. It was good for a lot of people. It was, unfortunately, it was what the Chinese call a win-win situation. And this is now a forbidden language, not to say that, because we're playing in with the big guys. And frankly, Canada is collateral damage, because we didn't make the decision. The decision was made where it's always made, in Washington. You know, last week on the show, it came up, we spoke about, and you talked about it earlier today, Macron's visit to China. Macron is a curious individual, politician, French politician, That doesn't imply anything. I mean, he is from France. But he did say that we ought not to be vassals. He wasn't talking to Canada. He was actually talking to his fellow Europeans. And, of course, that really resonates here, because this, all these policies, these ugly things that are starting to happen, are coming from the States. And I raise that because allegedly we're concerned about foreign influence. And so we have a lot of it, actually, a lot of it, foreign influence. And it is Washington. And so they've got this concept of they want legislation to register foreign agents. And the argument for it, the number one argument, and it's taken up, by the way, at yourviewsmatter.ca. I urge you to go to that site. Incidentally, not only is it calling on Canadians to sign a petition to fight this really McCarthyite and ugly idea, which we all know will lead down the road to people turning in neighbors, spying on each other, seeing political advantage, calling each other traitor, that kind of thing. But it, the argument, number one that they make is our allies are doing it, the big ones. Australia, good old Australia. Every Canadian envies Australia and the United States. And they point out that the United States has had this since 1938. And you say, well, that's great. What an example. So because of that, they didn't have McCarthyism. Because of that, they didn't lock up the Japanese Americans during World War II. They didn't establish Guantanamo. They didn't have a lie about the weapons of mass destruction. None of those things happened because, see, they were smart. They were prepared. In 1938, they started registering foreign agents and keeping track of everything. And you can see what a marvel they've become. As a matter of fact, they have a leader like Donald Trump who threatens to become once again the president, probably from jail, which you can't knock it as entertainment. But the idea we should emulate him is just beyond belief to me. Is it? And the other thing about it is that they say, well, and Australia has it. Why don't they? Wouldn't it be great if we actually there's an argument whether or not the CBC is independent, you know, and does, you know, honest. Why don't they go to Australia and find out how that's working? Because my understanding is that actually they are beginning to get at each other's throats over this subject of foreign agents. And as a precursor, we see, when I said was entering a world of pain, we've already got there. Because we've had people step out of their party office and sit as independents while they, as they say, fight for the integrity of their reputation. And what all we're getting from other people is or comments is tisk tisk. Well, these, so far, I point out, these are Asian Canadians, actually Chinese Canadians. So who are they kidding when they say, oh, well, you know, it's a foreign agent? No, no, we know who you mean. And it comes again, it flows from the decision made in Washington that we are to treat China as an adversary, which we did, by the way, when we captured Meng Wanzhou. That was treating somebody as an adversary. Nobody warned her that, you know, you might have a problem if you came here because the Americans are a little overheated on a matter. Instead, they were part of the trap entrapment. So, but this is not something the Canadian public ever discussed. whether we wanted to do that. Did we want to follow, at that time, the Trump policy? Now, of course, the Trump-Biden policy. We've learned that Democrat-Republican is pretty much the same story. So the push is to have a foreign, so-called foreign agent registration. As I said, we already have casualties. I don't know if I used the phrase, but this is collateral damage of a war policy. And that, by the way, to my mind, should be the number one thing, is that this antagonistic policy, particularly when it turns to issues like the place that all Canadian politicians call Taiwan, and they speak of the nation of Taiwan, when we already have an agreement that is part of China. Canada agreed to that. And we have the NDP and the Liberals, Conservatives, and the Bloc visiting. And I actually watched a spokesperson for the group that visited. And Mr. McKay, did you see John McKay, the Liberal Party, whatever? And he was interviewed about why he was a leader. They chose him the leader. And here's the phrase that sticks with me. He said, speaking to Rosemary Brown the other night, he said, China has taken itself out of the realm of civilized nations. And you know, that is, I guess the word for that is rank parochialism. What, I know that he lives in Canada and all that, but civilized nation, maybe he ought to make a list of who he thinks the civilized nations are, because while he was saying that, the president of Brazil was on a four-day make nice, happy, happy, I'm glad to be a BRIC member. He was there. So does this great member of parliament, Mr. McKay, and by the way, the NDP, do they consider Brazil one of the, maybe they're not in the civilized nations. Mexico doesn't have this policy. They're one of our, they're the number three amigo. Maybe they're number one amigo. From my point of view, if you're going to say, you know, I would put amigo number one is Mexico. Incidentally, they're not arguing whether or not they really have stepped up to the 2% for NATO. They don't give a nickel to NATO. And they don't seem to think anybody's going to bomb them. Why would that be? The answer on our end is that we're allied with, they keep talking about our allies, so we're allied with somebody who might get smacked. And according to our various come-and-go foreign ministers, we're under an umbrella. I want you to look out. There is no umbrella. And you're going to have to, as John Kennedy said, chew on the ashes with the rest of us. Mexico is not a target, because Mexico is actually an independent country and does what it wants and doesn't call Washington first. So, at any rate, we need to people to sign up for this. Get involved, and I'm going to urge you again, go to yourviewsmatter.ca. Sign that petition, but really get involved in the bigger issues. Are we on a diplomatic course? Are we on a course to preserve peace and promote free trade and mutually beneficial relations, or are we on another course? And it's that Darth Vader course that the U.S. is putting us on, which means that people have to be spied on and mugged and provoked. That's where the real problem lies, is the course of war and the removal of almost the mockery of the word diplomacy. Instead, we have these silly trips where the parties, and according to John McKay and everybody else, there's no difference of opinion. They all sap. And Phil, this is one of those peculiar moments where you say, can't we just even mention things? For example, there sits Mr. McKay staring at the president of, or the leader of the place, Taiwan. And on the wall behind him is a photograph of a rather well-known individual, Sun Yat-sen. So, and it's called, and I looked her up, she calls herself the President of the Republic of China. So why do we keep doing this? From China's point of view, I understand it. That is just Taiwan. It's a region of China. An army they defeated retreated to the island, which is China. And so that's okay. We understand that. They don't care to use the term. They don't need the term any longer, the so-called Republic of China. However, Sun Yat-sen is one of the fathers of modern China. If you watch any great national event in Beijing, you'll see photographs, as you know, of the man himself, Sun Yat-sen. Not just Mao Zedong, we've all learned that. But there they sat in the Republic, so-called Republic of China, is the way it's listed. And the only thing that'll come out of Mr. McKay's mouth and of the NDPers and others is Taiwan. And so, to my mind, the media, which it doesn't really exist exactly here, they don't say, well, that is a picture of Sun Yat-sen, am I right? And this place is called Republic of China. So shouldn't you discuss these things rather than to do this little game of our values or their values? And to say, not that it seems to me every major Canadian politician go out of their way to say stupid things. And to self-isolate Canada, because it's laughable. If you go to the continent of Africa and its many, many countries, you'll find respect for China. They would, if they're told by Mr. McKay that they are outside civilization, they would actually think you're mental. Same with South America. At the time that this visit was made, Honduras had changed its position and is now recognizing the People's Republic of China. And this woman who calls herself the president had just returned from, you know, with that bad news, but to tell everybody that the good news is that Belize and Guatemala still recognize them. So she's at, again, somebody should ask McKay and the NDPers and all those, don't you understand what's going on around you? Is this just for, are you just playing to make Biden happy? Or is there some region of Canada gets a big kick out of what you say? You know, Canada's supposed to be in the world with everybody else. We can always mention that there's been pain in the last decade or so that Canada can't get itself elected to the Security Council. You can put that down as never. If this policy continues, because this is a policy of self-isolation. And on the matter of baiting China and therefore having the collateral effect of putting Asian Canadians at risk, I would tell you, I'm not seeing the headlines, but I know it's for a fact, is that the fires have been set in Vancouver in what is called Chinatown, at the Chinese Cultural Center in Vancouver. Fire, the building was, somebody tried to torch it. So this is the side effect of this policy, which is the argument for which is we have to keep our allies happy, which means we're under foreign and their foreign influence. And it, who are they? They are the Anglo-Saxon system. That's who it is. It's New Zealand. We repeat this, I know, on the show, but we're going to keep doing it. New Zealand, Australia, UK, United States, and us. And who are they? They are the Anglophones. And we say Five Eyes. Five Eyes, that's who they are an intelligence-sharing group. So we are, by definition, under foreign influence. And the rest of the world cannot be a member of Five Eyes. And so we're told, well, we have to be even more like that. Well, this, of course, is to say we're going to try to maintain and project into the future, frankly, a Anglo-Saxon empire. And it isn't multicultural, except in the sense that all those who identify themselves as not Anglo-Saxon are part of our multicultural system, as they call it, will serve the Anglo-Saxon system. They won't say, "Oh, couldn't India be a member?" Or couldn't some, you know, pick out a friend, maybe Guatemala? No, not even Guatemala. Nobody gets to be a member unless they are Anglo-Saxon. I remind everybody that France asked to join, and they were told no. They speak French, and also they have suspicious history of Catholicism too. So remember, the five are Protestants. Anyway, I'm going to say last time, and we will come back to it after our next, after we speak to our guest. But here it is. It's yourviewsmatter.ca. Go to that site, read all the wonderful declarations, statements there. Sign that petition. I would urge you very much, if you don't like the petition and prefer your own wording, write a letter to the Prime Minister, write a letter to your MP, but we've got to put a stop to this crazy notion of foreign agent registration. A last point on that is, I would point out, and we'll come back later to this, but you have laws that say, you know, people cannot work and collaborate with foreign powers. Such laws exist, so you can enforce them if you like, but you can't start stigmatizing part of the population without evidence. And if you give power to an organization like CSIS, FBI, RCMP to decide whether you're doing right or wrong, you've thrown everything, all your rights, in the wastebasket.